is Monica Nominati. First and foremost, I need to thank the God of my understanding for bringing me out of the darkness of addiction and into the light of life. It's a great day to be clean. It's a great day to be a part of the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. If you anything like me, I'm grateful for the opportunity that I gave myself when I decided to embark upon the 12-step journey. Because it is totally insane for an individual to be in a 12-step fellowship and not embark upon the 12-step journey. So I'm grateful that I had people in my life to say, oh, this is something you need to do. You don't have a choice. So I'm grateful that I took the instruction of those that came before me that knew I was hard-headed and knew that I needed to be instructed, but also to be told what to do. Because when you suggest things, if you got a dictionary like they told me to get, you understand that that a suggestion is a subtle command, that we really telling you what to do, we just doing it in a nice way. So y'all told me what to do in a nice way. You told me get a basic text, get a it works how and why, get a step guide, get a dictionary, get a just for the day, get all the tools that I need. Because when you use it, I don't go nowhere without my stem, my lighter, my straw, my keys. I don't go nowhere without my tools because I don't know what I'm gonna run into. You know, and I gotta be prepared to get mines when I get there. So this is the first time that I've ever done a step meeting without my literature. And let me tell you why. Because the day when I was in my meditative state, the spirit of God that I worship and that I serve, that it guided me to this program and has guided me through this program with the help of you all, said you've done a fourth step multiple times. So you don't need to revert to the literature because you took the suggestion of your sponsor who told you that sometimes you're going to be the only basic text somebody get to read. So if you ain't got it in you, you ain't going to be able to give it to nobody nowhere. So, as a result of that, you know, fourth step. You know, in order to do a fourth step, you first have to do a first, second, and third step because you need the principles in 1, 2, and 3 to be able to. I don't need that. I ain't scared of the God that I serve no more. I have the ability to follow His guidance today because I gotta. Let me tell you something. So fourth step talk about courage, talk about strength, it talk about faith, it talk about trust. If I don't trust the God that got me standing here and the word that He gave me before I got here, then why am I standing here? So I need to be obedient and let me tell you something. Because I have character defects and because I suffer from stuff like a low self-esteem and low self-worth and I got some things going on like insecurities, I won't be able to trust the power that's in me that God is trying to use in me, and I'll become dependent on the book. When the spiritual principles are lived, they don't just read. So I got to be able to live this thing out. So I'm thankful and I'm grateful. So you told me to get the literature. You told me to get a guide. You told me to don't do this by myself. So I had to get a sponsor and had to start to follow the direction of the sponsor that I had. And if you don't believe that you got the best sponsor in the world, you might got the wrong sponsor. So I took the suggestions of the sponsor that guided me, and I began to embark upon this 12-step journey. Now I'm about to share with you my experience, strengths, and hopes as it relates to the fourth step. But understand, because this is a spiritual program, I'm going to touch on some spiritual principles that aren't in the fourth step, but are going to be needed in order to live a fourth step. So I wasn't afraid. You know, the book talk about the ghost in the closet. I wasn't afraid of the ghost in the closet because you told me that I had already done the behaviors. I had already done the acts. The fourth step was about me putting it on paper. Not talking to you about it, but putting it on paper, because sometimes I can lie depending on how I feel. Because remember, I ain't got the 6 yet, so I don't know what my character defects are. But I do understand that I've done some stuff. And as a result of me doing some stuff, I got to put it on paper. I got to see me. All the fourth step is really looking at you for who you really are. Not the representative you want everybody else to see, but who you really are. You know that person you are when ain't nobody looking, when you think, you know how you be standing somewhere, you think ain't nobody looking, ladies, and we feel our underwear is in a place that it shouldn't be, and we kind of try to maneuver it out? Yeah, we do that, because if you ain't, look, I know some of y'all got still wearing some underwear that you bought when you first got here, and you three sizes too big now, but you still trying to fit into the ones, so those are the ones that's going to ride up in places that you're going to need to get out discreetly. So I came here and I began to look at me, and I put me on the paper, and I wasn't afraid. My first journey through the fourth step, I wasn't afraid. I kind of went in with a pop my collar type attitude, like, yeah, I did that, and what? Like I did that, and what? You like, what's up? I did that, and if I had the opportunity, I'd do it again. You know, that kind of mentality. You know, it's not saying that I wasn't supposed to go into there like that, but I came out the same way. And let me tell you something, family. Be mindful of the person you sit down to do your fourth step with. Because let me tell you something, I love my sponsors and the ones that I've had in my life, I love them dearly. However, if they're not spiritually in a place that they can guide you out of something because they may be going through something, it might not be the time that you need to sit down with them. And one thing I've learned about individuals with clean time is that sometimes you don't have the humility to say that I'm not spiritually fit right now. And what I come to understand is sometimes I got to be able to identify when my sponsor ain't spiritually fit to help me if they going through their own struggle. But needless to say, she guided me through. And I came out with the same pop your collar type arrogance I went into it with. But another thing that I found out is that y'all jipped me. You jipped me. Because when some of y'all who have been here for over 15 and 20 years, y'all ain't go straight to the flatbook. Yeah, I'm here to tell you. Y'all ain't go straight to the flatbook. You went to another 300 some question full step. Y'all had 300 some questions that you all went through that was able to show you your childhood, your adolescence, and your adulthood. Y'all got that. So why do you want to shortchange me and take me straight to the flatbook? So the reality is I went in there because I couldn't see my patterns. You talk about patterns in the fourth step, that you should be able to see the pattern of why you did this here, what happened to you here, and you still see it playing out now. I couldn't connect the dots. And the reason why I couldn't connect the dots, because you didn't give it to me like you got it. So, you know, I found out for myself that sometimes we want to give you the watered-down version. And then they'll understand why we fuse or why we still struggle with this or because we still struggle with that. Because what you told me when I got here is, if you want what I got, you got to do what I did. So if I want to do what you did, why you ain't giving it to me like you got it? So I felt cheated. So when I decided to change sponsors, you know, because the sponsor that I had at the time, she was emotionally and physically unavailable for me, and I was okay with that. But because she didn't have the humility necessary to be able to tell me that, because I was still working, I was able to say, you know what? I'm good. I think because your life is full right now, and you got a lot on your plate, it's okay that you can't help me right now. But I need somebody that can. Because my recovery is my responsibility. You know, and I got with this sister, and it was, you know, it was this young lady that had been in my area, and you know, she always say how unapproachable I was when I first came here, and I was. You know, I was the snap, crackle, and pop chick. You know, I wish your mother was chick. You know, and I was always eager to invite you outside because I had some things I needed to get off my chest. But the reality is that that was an image that was created through acts of addiction. That was a person that I needed in order to survive acts of addiction. Like, I don't know, like everybody, where I come from, everybody got Pennsylvania Avenue. Y'all might call it Martin Luther King Boulevard. But where I come from is Pennsylvania Avenue. That's a 24-hour, 7 days a week, nonstop stop. And in order to be able to survive that, I needed to have developed some characteristics or become this character that I needed to become in order to survive at 3 o'clock in the morning, walking through the alleys, trying to get one more, you know. And what you told me is that I was going to come in here with her. But what was going to happen was I needed to meet her in my fourth step. So my sponsor said who I was going to meet in my alter ego, the character I created, and who I truly am, who God created me to be, was going to meet in my fourth step. It's called assets and defects. Character. Assets and liabilities. Like I had to look at the whole me. I had to look at how I became who I became. And it ain't had nothing to do with the drugs. Because let me tell you something. I was beat, battered, and bruised long before I picked up. That's why I picked up. Because I was still trying to hide the hurt and the pain that I was feeling just because of life in general. Like I'm the product of a parent who didn't want another child. I don't know if you know what that feels like to be in the womb of somebody who don't want you. Where you come out and don't understand why you don't have a connection with the person that gave you life. And the reality is it wasn't personal against me. She had just lost a child before me. So her fears were imparted into me in the womb. So I came out fearful. Because my mother was fearful that her child wasn't going to survive 18 months. She had lost a child to crib death. Is this next one going to die too? So I don't want to get too close to her because if she go, I don't want to feel that again. But I'm a kid, I don't understand that. But the fourth step allowed me to see like she been acting like this all my life. This ain't something that happened because I start using. But what I understand it was they were her issues. And sometimes I can't hold my parent responsible for her issues that she won't deal with. But I do have to be responsible for the fact that they affected me and how I respond to her as a result of that. I didn't know that prior to doing a fourth step. I didn't know. So I'm looking at me. And I see me for who I am now. You know, because the second time around and doing these 300 questions, you know, because the sponsor that I obtained after that, she had done a meeting at the Baltimore Area Convention, and I heard her talk about these questions and all of these questions and all of these questions. And I was like, well, that ain't the one I got. And that's when I realized that y'all chipped me. You know, you cheated me out of some stuff. You know, and I begun to embark on that on my own. Like when you understand how much pain you really in and you know that the only way out is to write your way out. Let me tell you, I got this from you. I'm going to give you this one. I usually charge $3.84. But I'm going to give you this one for free. If you find in your area where you live, where you frequent meetings, that people come and bring their issues to the meeting, you know they haven't done a fourth step. I'm going to tell you why. Because our literature clearly states that when issues surface, what we do? We write about it. Yeah, most people didn't know that because they might not have done a fourth step. But the reality is we do a fourth step. We write about our issues. And after we write about our issues, we're able to get to what kind of solutions do I need. Like I ain't just coming to the meeting and dumping and running. Nowadays we think our Narcotics Anonymous is a trash can. Because most of us come in here and dump, and we don't want to stay to get no solution. We dump and run. And then you come back 6 months later with the same bull crap and you looking at us like, we're sick of hearing you with that. Well, if y'all sick and tired of hearing me, then y'all need to go somewhere. No, you need to do some work on yourself. Like y'all told me. You need to address you in your own mirror so you can stop coming in here vomiting on us. Because my sponsor said, go home. Before you even pick up the phone to call me, pick your pen up. Write it down. Write all of that sickness down. See, they made me carry a journal with me consistently. Because I ain't the one. My thoughts come too fast. They go too fast. And I don't know what's going on in the middle. So I can't wait till the end of the day to come home and journal. I need a journal all day long. Because y'all told me that I have 1,000 thoughts throughout the course of the day. Ain't no way in heck I'm going to be able to remember all of them feelings I had all day. So write them down as you experience them. And that's what I started to do, man. I started to see me on paper, and I started to see the emotion on paper. It's something about how heavy you write, how light you write, and just how you write. Like, take a look at your handwriting, Monica, as you write in pain. When you're writing about the painful stuff, look at the handwriting. When you're writing about the good things about yourself and the good times about your life, look how beautiful your handwriting flows across the paper. You can barely even notice that you wrote something on the paper. But let you talk about the father that left, or the, because you the baby child and, you know, always got beaten all the time. And then I could rip all three of them pages out and then be able to take a pencil over and still be able to read it, because that's how far the indention. But what my sponsor told me was, that's how deep the issue is. However many pages that you can still feel the imprint of those words is how many layers that you will have to peel off to get to the core of that issue that you keep thinking you all right with, because you talked about it with your sponsor. My sponsor said, it's all good that you sit here and talk to me. Now you need to go share it with the group, because I ain't got that issue. And because I don't have that issue, I can't help you with it, and I can't help you through it. So you need to share it with the group and let the group help you, because the group is the most powerful vehicle here. Ain't my sponsor calling them in the middle of the night and all. No, go to the meeting after you pick up the pen. Because what happened for me is I began to see me for who I really was and not the facade of the individual that I created and was still trying to live out clean. Like, you come to meet you in the fourth step. That's why most of us don't want to go and do a fourth step, because who you think you are, you ain't. You ain't. That's the illusion of the individual you created as a result of being able to get through some stuff you ain't want to face, Monica. So put your dukes down. You know, because I'm the chick that's always in. When I first got to Narcotics Anonymous, you know, I would talk to people like this. You know, because I was always on, like, I wish anybody, like, what? But that ain't who I am no more. Because that was never who I was. Who I was was a brainiac kid. Highly intelligent. Got a perfect score in elementary school, which allowed me, you know them standardized tests we get as kids? I got a perfect score. And they wanted to send me to special school for the gifted and intelligent. And my mom would say, no, she can't go there. I ain't got that kind of money. And I developed a resentment. And looking at, like, I was always gifted in everything I did. I played basketball well. I did dance. You know, they wanted to let me go to the School of the Arts in New York. My mom said, she can't go. She don't live with them people I don't know. And in the strange city up there with them New Yorkers. No offense, New Yorkers. No, you know. So I don't understand that I'm building these resentments, because I live in a household where you can't tell how you feel. So you wonder why I use, because I got all this stuff. We the fourth step talk about that the pressure cooker, like that it's only a minute before I explode. And then we come into recovery, and we got all of this stuff from active addiction and before active addiction, and then we come in here and do stuff in here and think that we ain't going to explode. That's why we have heart attacks, strokes, sugar diabetes, because we want to eat cheesecake in the middle of the night. I know, because I used to do it. Cheesecake ice cream, that is. Yeah, let me not talk about the gelato, because that's a whole nother meat. But I began to see the pain of my life. But there was some joy that I forgot about. Like we always want to talk about the fourth step, but we make this big production of the pain. But it wasn't always painful. Because if the truth be told, the pain was self-perpetuated. If I'd have just followed directions when my mother gave them to me, if I'd have just set my hot tail on the top step instead of moving down to the bottom step, if I'd have just stayed on the step instead of getting off and going in the alley, if I'd have stopped not hung with you people with them strange names like Pookie and Boo Boo and Smurf and all of y'all, because my mother said, don't hang with them people with them strange names. You'll find yourself doing some strange things. But I didn't realize, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really think about that, because I didn't realize at the time that my mother was one of them people. My mother had one of them strange names. Her name was Bo. So she had first-hand knowledge of what the strange kind of stuff people with strange names did. But I ain't paying no mind, because she don't know what she talking about. She don't know. She don't know the life I'm living. But she did know. She did know. I didn't know. And because I had an inability to follow simple directions, I got what I got. And as a result of that, I had to do a full step to be able to see that. So we talk about the assets. We talk about the liabilities. But then we got to also talk about the assets. See, I needed help seeing my assets. Because I had spent so many years looking at my liabilities. I didn't even know I had assets. Like I'm the chick that when we using and you ain't got, even if you tell me you coming back and you don't, when you finally do come back and you ill and I got, I'm one of them people that really got you. And then I'm mad at myself after you leave and say, you know, like, I know she gonna burn me. I know she ain't coming back. I know when she get a check, she ain't gonna find me. I'm gonna find her over somebody else's house. And sure enough, but I got slick. I wound up going hang out over their house. So when you did come with the check and you went over their house, I was already in position. but I began to see that I was a caring and giving individual. You know, I began to see that I was very trusting of people, sometimes to a fault. You know, that I would give you my last because I got skills. You ain't got to sweat me. Yeah, take that. I'm going to get mine. Don't worry about it. Like I'll put other people before me. And then, you know, that kind of got out of hand, because then I wound up lacking, and then you got all and you ain't willing to give me nothing back, then I'm empty. So I began to see who I really was. Like, I ain't this rough, rugged, and y'all mean grab your crotch type chick. Y'all used to grab my crotch like it was something there. You know, and my sponsor had to point out to me that I had a man's spirit, and I didn't understand what that was about. And it was because that my mother had a strong, dominant personality. Now, in most average households, the man is the dominant personality. But when the man is removed from the home, the women have to assume both roles. So if you in a place and your parent was a single parent and they have assumed the roles of both roles, you don't know that you got to relinquish one of them, Monica. You live both roles. So I'm the man, and I make the decisions, and I make the decisions. But then you get in a relationship with a real man who tell you, like, check this out. You're going to have to figure out whether you want to wear the dress or the pants. Because I ain't putting on a dress. So I gotta, now I gotta learn how to, before I can even, I gotta admit to myself that I'm trying to wear both. And why I'm trying to wear both. I'm trying to wear both because I'm afraid that if I relinquish over to you the responsibilities that you're supposed to have, you're gonna fall short. So my control issues kick in, and I gotta do this because I don't trust nobody else to do this, because every time I trusted somebody, they fell short and I gotta pick up the pieces anyway, so I might as well just move you out the way and do both jobs. But that's it! There ain't no applause, that's it! That's it! That's disease thinking, Monica! You ain't that great that you gotta do everything! You gotta be able to allow somebody else, even if they fall short. Cause then you know how you need to support them in being able to do the job better. What? Where'd that come from? I ain't coming here like that. Coming here like that? I came here dictating. You gonna do this and you gonna do that and you know, that this process has allowed me to be able to see me when I don't want to see me. You know, the fourth step is something that takes place daily for me. Because I got to be ever mindful of who I am. Like, I know my limitations. You know, I know I can't be around gossiping folks. That's why a lot of time I'm by myself, and I'm okay with that, because I don't need your negative spirit rubbing off on me. I worked too hard to stop gossiping. I stopped gossiping my first year in recovery because I was sick of you talking about other people. I've done that most of my life. Now you tell me that now that I come here, I got to do something different, so now I start talking about me. So then, but then you get mad at me, because then when I expose me and talk about me, it exposes you about you having to look at yourself, because I tell you about myself. So if I share something about me and you want to get offended at me for me talking about me, don't look at me, go home and look in your mirror. Because the fourth step is a mirror. It allows me to see me when I don't want to see me. That's why you don't want to do one. Because you don't want to look at the part of you, Monica, that you need to change. Because if you look at it and accept it, maybe you can move past it. Maybe you can move past it. So I'm okay with who I'm becoming. I'm okay with the work that I've done on myself. The very thing that I've learned about my own fourth steps. Is the fact that you have to do it for me. You ain't never got to do nothing. But for me, because see, I ain't get to the point of shooting dope. Let me go back a little bit. I didn't get to the point of shooting heroin off the street. See, I worked in the hospital at the end, so I could steal the Medicaid, or not, I stole the medication of the dead. You know, because you want to justify because they were dead and you ain't stealing it. You would throw it in the trash, you would put it in your pocket. No! You stole it. It wasn't yours. You know, because the people are dead now want to take the medication instead of throwing it in the trash. You know, the real stuff like the Vicodin and the liquid morphine. And I want to take it home and I want to take the syringes home. And then when I'm ill and I can't get to work, I want to draw it out and shoot it in my, you know, put it in my muscle and shoot it. I was shooting dope. But because I understand, because the basic texts tell us that we don't care how long you go without doing one. If you don't do one, eventually, you're going to use again. And you're going to use something other than drugs first, because we'll justify, or I ain't using dope, but you sleeping with 75 dudes in your area. I ain't using dope, but you done bought every pair the same shoe you can't wear but one at a time. But I ain't using. No, but you done cause strife with every woman that you gonna need later on. You using. Because the seven questions prior to the steps say, are you sure you want to stop using? They say, none about dopes and cokes and weed. than alcohol. It's telling me, sure, you want to stop using. So if I open my mind wide enough to understand that these principles and this program will help me not use anything if I apply it to the situation. But I first got to be willing to look at the situation and see it for what it really is and not what I fabricated it to be in my mind. And when I come to grips with who I really am, like I ain't no tough chick. I ain't no tough chick. I'm a loving woman. I'm a caring individual. And now today, I can pick and choose who I need in my life. And I don't even pick and choose them. I say, God, bring whoever you need me to help me be better for me and you. And I'm good with it. Because what I understand about me is because I haven't gotten comfortable in the newness of who I've become. Sometimes I'll still pick the person that was me when I first got here and don't understand that I'm going to start reverting back to who I used to be as opposed to moving forward to who I need to be. And so I stop looking. And I ask God, just send them. And whoever he sends, I'm open. But understand, I'm not going to conform to your way. Because I got my own way. It's the Narcotics Anonymous way. And if you ain't living that way, you ain't going to be able to stay in my life, no way. Thanks for having me.